Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show! Welcome, welcome, and ding-dong merrily on the green sofas. It's our Christmas edition, hence the festive d-up theme tune. And this is the One Show Show, the podcast that minces up the One Show's pies and then forces it all back to the One Show through its beak. I am John Holmes, and this week, hanging off the tea time television tree, bagpipes versus Nazis, do not bend over near David Jason, and Tom Hardy's wife, shits in a box. Joining me, she does.
Normally I've heard all three, but that last one I haven't. And like a listener to the One Show, I'm like, looking forward to that.
Joining me to put the One Show pig in a blanket of unnecessarily harsh criticism this week, our regular Titi Tosser Mark Haynes, and now almost regular herself Titi Tosser, Julia Racer.
Everybody's here.
Right then. Well, should we start on Monday?
We have to start on Monday.
We kind of have to start on Monday.
So much to get through.
Well, we know Matt's off now, because, of course, we know that Matt left the One Show for his pantomime.
I walked past the panto because it's quite near our offices.
Yeah.
I walked past it the other night, and I think it was not the first night, but one of the early nights. Everyone going to see that panto is over 60. Every single one. And everyone had the sort of bags that suggest they don't live a long way outside London, but they do live outside of London.
Of course, right. It's a special trip.
They're all farmers.
Yeah.
Are the lights nice?
My other favourite thing, if you get to see a picture of it, they've got a lot of celebrities in it. So Lily Savage is in it and Matt Baker's in it. And there's Nigel Havers playing Daddy Bear. Right?
I mean, already, this is something from Jack Whitehall's childhood.
And Havers is playing Daddy Bear. There are two other bears in it. And the two other bears are people I've not heard of. And in their photos for the panto, they are dressed as the bears. And they're going... And Havers, as Daddy Bear, Havers has got a picture of Havers looking over his shoulder. And behind
looking
him
like the charmer.
Is the costume. He will not have the costume on in the thing.
Oh, I love that, man.
That's not a Havers. Quality photo.
Is it? Do you think it's like that in the actual show as well? He's not wearing it. It's just sort of perched on his back. Like,
they've got a sort of weird system of pulleys, so it follows him like a shadow.
No, I think he'd probably have like a butler or a batman just with on some hangers. Sir, not now.
Not
sir,
now.
Not now.
But we're midway through the run, sir. Not now. Oh, well, that's where Matt is anyway. So if you want to get your fix of Baker... That's where you need to be headed with a load of 60-year-olds.
What's he playing?
I don't. Goldilocks? I don't know.
I think it's Cinderella. The three bears.
Cinderella and the three bears.
The three bears will give you an indication that it's probably not that well worked
out. Oh,
but I think he's playing a sort of Buttons character.
Buttons on a tractor.
Yeah.
Effectively.
You must never wear buttons on a farm. If a pig was to snag a button, it would damage the pig, but also you'd put your life in danger.
So, Amol Rajan stepping
in. I like him.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
What is he for, really?
I don't, I do the media show with him sometimes, so I think he's smashing.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Like a nice guy.
We're going to agree to disagree on it. He seems hopeless at things to me. I mean,
I just like that he doesn't care as much as anybody else in the studio, so he seems a little bit bored.
I can see. Yes, he does.
He's
he
almost like
bored.
He's us. He's the viewer, but suddenly thrust into the thick of the one show.
But you know, that
makes me feel more comfortable.
That's like all the Germans who helped Hitler.
He's only following orders.
He does look really bored with this, and he doesn't look like he gets much out of it.
No.
And this week, actually, that sort of attitude really sort of bled into it, where all of the interviews were a bit sticky. And
they were dead as
no
doornails,
one was enjoying
they?
It.
No,
yeah.
No,
I just don't
very,
think
very
he's very good at this. I mean, I'm sure he's good at something.
He's
I just don't know
what
it is. What is that?
Well, he's like basically the media editor of BBC News. He does the media show.
That's right.
On Radio 4. He's a serious journalist.
Journalist, yeah, because he was youngest editor of The Independent or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. This smacks of his agent saying, like, profile, love, profile.
But he's on everything now. He sits in on Radio 2 and he's not very good at that either.
I'm going to say that the BBC are spreading him a little thin.
That's what
and
it
I'm
is.
Not going to say why they are, but I think we can guess why they are. He's extremely good at what he does. I don't know why he's on the one show.
Yeah, he's just...
But I'm glad to see him.
Are you?
Yes.
Right. You're also glad to see his parents that he brought in.
Yes, that
because
was my
clearly,
best bit.
The Rajan family needing to be involved in everything is spreading upwards through the family
tree
now.
That was just a big night for me, and indeed for my family. I've brought my parents, my beloved parents. In. There they are, Mum and Dad. That's your moment, guys. You can smile. Over here, Dad.
That was a heartbreaker, though, because they'd been brought on solely because they, as a family, loved Only Fools and Horses so much, and they had David Jason on.
Well, that was the conceit, anyway.
And I mean, David Jason. I mean, talk about people who can't be bothered. David Jason was literally, he's like, I've brought my Mum and Dad here because we're such big fans. And David Jason's like, oh, yeah, very nice. Yep, yep, very good.
Oh, God, he was just so not engaged at
not
all,
at all.
Was he?
David Jason,
not at all.
I mean, I think the bulk of this podcast is going to be about David Jason. Because what other things happen on other days?
Yeah.
It really all fell away when David Jason got involved in this car crash of a half an hour's
television. He is a man who always brings good cheer. That's how they build him.
They did. They really did say that.
They might as well have said he is a blue ball of gas that emits lasers from its back.
Coming up, who always brings good cheer in any number of classic Christmas specials.
It was so inaccurate. he just, I don't know what he was expecting the one show was, but he seemed totally on tenterhooks the entire time. Like he was ready to be, they were suddenly going to hit him with something hard.
I just don't know what it was. Tired, like he was crumbling. I get people get old and you're not allowed to get old on TV. And I always, I can't help it. I remark upon it when I see people on TV that I haven't seen for ages. He looked like he was actually falling apart.
Yes,
like bits were coming off him. He looks really, really old. And when you get and they did this twice this week, or maybe even this episode. No, they did. It was this episode because it was the classic episode. But old people, interviews with really, really, really old people.
Yeah.
They have amazing stories to tell so they can take all the fucking time they like.
Oh.
Unless they have nothing interesting to say and they still take all the time they like. And they were just like, this is... I honestly found it so hard to watch. I wanted to kill myself.
Do you know what I wrote down? And it's exactly what you've just said. But I said, this is like David Jason. It's like it's part of a film where a psychopath has killed David Jason. He's skinned him. He's put on the skin. And suddenly the door is opened and they've gone, 2 minutes, Mr. Jason, and you're on the one show. And the guy has gone, shit, I've got to keep it together for 25 minutes and then I'll get away scot-free.
So
he was there looking anxious and shifty and the story's half remembered. And the repeat. Heated story about
the power station.
The power would shoot up when it was finished to put the kettle on for a cup of tea.
You can do that in a sentence.
One of the stories about that, which I really, really like, is that we'd got such a reputation of getting such good figures that they realised that in the power stations that they were on standby to balance the power because what they had remembered and what they'd worked out, that the amount of viewers that Fools and Horses got would go up, would shoot up, their power would shoot up when it finished, because everybody was putting the kettle on to have a cup of tea. So when that Christmas special came out, this is a story, maybe apocryphal, or I tend to believe it, that you're talking about 20 or over 20 million people.
Yeah,
you imagine all of those people putting the kettle on, making a cup of tea. The thing is, they had two or three blokes in the power station, apparently, getting ready to balance the power to bring in another power station. OK? All right, bring in Brixton, quick!
I'll tell you what, you know you've got a hit when you've got to be thinking about things like this.
He is an actor. He's not a comic. And he plays a lot of comedy roles that are iconic.
Yeah.
And so there is the thing of going, it's going to be so much fun. He's brought us so much laughter over the years. He's an actor.
Yeah.
If he was really funny, he'd be a stand-up. Yeah.
He's got nothing.
No.
And so they talked about the amount of viewers it got. So 23 million, whatever it was, or 23 years ago, 21 million viewers. And he started off awkwardly because he said... Because they made a big thing of that. Amal sort of said, and it was like 23 years ago. And he went, well, it wasn't that long ago. And Amal just went, it was.
Mate, 23 years ago, over 21 million people watched it. And it's still making people laugh, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it wasn't really that long ago, was it?
No, it was.
Well, yeah, I suppose it was.
Mate, look at you. It really was.
Exactly.
You're barely held together by skin. And
we've all heard, everybody knows the thing about television in those days was that the power grid surged when big, large programmes with millions of people watching stopped because they put the kettle. We've all heard that a million
definitely
times.
You've heard it about, like, Morecambe and Wise. Yeah,
Two Ronnies.
Yeah,
this,
all
those. Only Fools and so he told that we all already know, which took... 2 minutes and 40
Did
seconds.
You time?
Yeah.
just
to talk about plugging in a kettle.
Ironically, there was a power surge while he was telling that story because everybody went to put a cup of tea on.
I just want you to imagine 20 million people putting the kettle on. Imagine that now.
But
I'll wait like an hour.
But,
it was so
but
dull.
They have two plenty power stations, apparently. Getting ready to balance the power.
Oh, God, please stop.
Because
please.
The power would shoot up when it was finished.
I can't do this again.
To put the kettle on for a cup of tea, you see. Now, in the two power stations...
You're going far too fast, Mark.
I was just shouting, kettles! Kettles! Throughout the whole thing. Just get to the kettle! No, because the power... There's a man, and he's got a lever. And he pulls the lever.
But the two power stations in... Now, what would happen? Well, now, ironically, you look back on that and you go, that was the best story you told because it was the least problematic and it was the most sort of dignity filled. This was, my God. So he starts doing the thing about the raspberries, the blowing the raspberries from the Phantom Raspberry
Blower. Now that was something.
Well,
are we jumping?
I thought we'd leave the big one for main course.
Well, I learned that. I didn't know David Jason was... This was the Two Ronnies, wasn't it? And they did a famous serial within their sketch show years ago called The Phantom Raspberry Blower of Old London
Town. It's one of my favourite things.
Same here. Written by Spike Milligan, Michael Palin, and all, you know, it was kind of a big thing. And we used to go around at school going... because of it. And I didn't know that David Jason was the guy who did the...
No, that was an interesting fact. I was delighted to learn
the fact.
In among all the non-facts.
But then we got something odd, didn't we?
So, do you want to describe the Lady
Jack? I'm going to let you do it.
Okay, fine. So is it 1812 Overture?
I believe so.
So they said, I think Amol said to him, I understand you do this in a very special way. It was all a bit like, where's this going?
Yeah.
You do it to the 1812 Overture as the music swelled in the background. And David Jason just looked at him, nothing doing. He's like, you do it.
You've got a very particular technique for mastering the raspberry, which is that you do it to the 1812 Overture. Is that right?
I thought you'd never ask.
Should we have a go?
What?
Do the music.
Go on, then.
No, you do it. I've got to do it. You do it. I've got to do it. Go on.
And then Amal just went, oh, no, because it's your thing. He's like, you do it. Absolutely giving nothing. And then eventually realising... Fuck, you know, it's happening.
Was he able to even hear the music? You couldn't quite work it out.
So then he just drenched like the front row of kind of lackeys in spittle. Just like did the full...
I was just staring at it thinking, what's happening here is, and given, you know, the story that we're going to get to, that we by now, watching it in real time, had already heard, I was just sitting there going, This is the unedifying spectacle of a pervert knight of the realm blowing raspberries to the 1812 overture on national television.
I mean, it was horrific.
You know,
I don't want to look at his tongue after that.
No, he sort of stuck out. Old man.
It was his unwillingness to do it as well.
Yes,
And it was awkward. And the audience were absolutely silent.
It's awful. And Michelle's appalling. Face. So it's been. I have sort of enjoyed her in a wrong way this week because
Michelle
she's.
Ackley, yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of the empathy filter because obviously Amol not interested. Like he doesn't give a shit about pretending to enjoy stuff. Mm. So it's all on her. That's quite a lot for her face to do when in the kind of repose moments. And she doesn't literally 10 minutes into this episode she's like, no, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what muscles to pull in my face
this
now.
This is me over.
Because I'm just so embarrassed.
I don't want to get wrapped up in this, that when we watch it back on the news, I'm sitting there going, oh, really?
Encouraging
so she's
him,
like, shut yourself down. Shut it down.
I did. I got fascinated by her as well. And I was watching her, and she frowned on this programme more than anything else.
She did.
While
she
David Jason was
frowns.
Talking about the... Even at the power station time, before we get onto the other stuff, she was just sort of... She did that thing where people lean back. Like
she did,
look puzzled and horrified at the same time for most of the program.
I think it's impossible to keep that Richter's grin going when things are just going
so badly. There must have been as well producers just in the ear the whole time, just going, "Got to get him off, got to get him off, got to get him off."
And like,
the
way that he spoke, don't interrupt him, he'll be really fucked off.
Yeah,
but somehow signal to him that this is not.
He had that amazing ability of quite boorish men to just deliver a story and pause in the right place so that you could never actually end the story. And he had that clever thing of dragging the things together and saying obscene things so that you couldn't really stop him. Now, you don't have a... So she had to just sit there and go, am I going to be doing this for the next 22 minutes?
But also, of course, there was no get-out clause because he was the only guest.
Yeah.
No, so I wrote down that expanse of dark green sofa next to him. Yeah, it's never looked so big. No. Like, it's never looked so frickin' empty.
Because they must... Once he got onto the bad... story.
They
had to, when it got shut down, which was late because Amol is not experienced like Matt or any of the others at shutting this stuff down.
Yeah.
And so what they've done, they've taken these two, you know, like the B team, not even the B team, like the D team for the one show and thrown them an A team task to deal with. And then they were not equipped to deal
the
with the
thing
job.
Is, they must have been saying, the thing about David Jason, he's an A-lister, he's been around the block, he knows how this works, he's a national treasure.
You'd think.
This is going to be very easy for you guys. Just sit back and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. I think there was a weird bit about David Jason that I think to some degree he knew it was going badly, but he just kept going. He didn't stop.
He was like, he didn't know he was on television.
Yes, yeah. I think that it was, there was slight that unease about an older person just not being quite as aware as perhaps they have been in the past. I haven't seen many interviews with him as a younger man. I've heard people in my profession having interviewed him and gone, oh, that was bloody hard work, but I've not really seen what he was like before. This feels like when they show you those really old films of Donald Trump, he's almost coherent. You're like, hang on, he used to be able to do sentences.
Yeah.
What's happened to him? Oh, he's old.
Yeah. And I suppose it's that slight thing of, and again, the stories that he chose to tell. I mean, the big one, obviously, is just absolutely, he obviously went in and thought, this is going to get some laughs.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. And it is the last thing that you should have said on television.
It was, I mean, it was not only, it was inappropriate before Me Too was even twinkle in Harvey Weinstein's. Let alone anyone else.
Absolutely.
I mean, should we go?
I look forward to seeing David Jason's next appearance where he turns up with a walking frame with two tennis balls on the bottom.
But it was like, do you not know that, like, you know, you're watching this car crash of television and you're feeling for Amol and Michelle going, this guy is going down a route here that is absolutely in the current climate.
To be
utterly
fair.
Utterly inappropriate.
To be fair to him, he did sort of like, there was like a runway, like a little run up before he got to the unbelievably awful bit of the story where he talked just kind of almost quite fondly about how when the art department put cakes out on the shop counter in that sitcom he does that in the shop.
Yeah.
That he just, when they're not looking, he just picks the cherries off the top of the cakes and eats them.
Yeah. And all the time you're filming, you're surrounded by all this food, these delicious props.
Yeah.
Is it true, I read somewhere that you take the glacé cherries off the cakes? Is that right?
You'll be surprised what I do in my private life.
Why'd you do that?
Well, you see, what happens is you get this, the bench in the shop in front, the cameras are all there, And they put in the bread and the cakes and the, you know, all of the edible stuff on there. Well, when they're lining up the shots and getting the camera and talking to the camera guys and cut to camera one, two, three, it gets quite boring and you've got to stand there looking at this cake. So what I do is, let's see, if it's got cherries on the top, the glacé cherries, I pinch the glacé cherries, right? Now, the problem with that is, if they've already shot that from another angle, from a different scene...
Continuity.
Yes. All of the cherries have gone off the top of the cake.
It's magic.
It's magic.
And then continued down that story a bit. I thought, he sounds like a bit of an arsehole. God, the art department must really fucking hate him. And then he said, so they said something about, oh, you're not looking very fat for someone who eats loads of cherries. He was like, oh, I spit them out most of the time.
I have to say, you're in good shape for someone who's knocking back all these cherries.
Well, yes, but there's a lot of them that go like that. So I do, eject them out.
You're a sociopath.
The best thing about that is when they went into that glacé cherry story, and this is pre the other story.
I can't believe you're saying the sentence, the glacé cherry story. But here we are.
When they go into that, they go, now, you like glacé cherries, don't you? And he said,
so
you'd be surprised at my private life.
Yes,
oh, that's for the things I get up to in my private life.
Yeah, also, I mean, we can't, but there was a rumour some years ago, wasn't there?
That unsubstantiated, I'm sure.
It is. Perhaps that's why he was nervous. He thought, is this where it's all going?
I can't believe he didn't have the awareness of a man who... He was just so edgy and weird.
I mean, he said, look, you know, you'd be surprised at my private life. After a decade of revelations about people from that era, I will not. I'm more surprised that there isn't something there.
Yes, sure.
What a absolutely incredible car crash disaster of a story.
Mark,
what
you do the voice. You can do his voice.
Well, I can't quite do it because he doesn't really sound like David Jason anymore. But I wrote down...
Do it as Del Boy.
I wrote down as much of it as I could. I think it's easier to do it this way because I can be more misleading as we do it. So he said, I got an award from my stage management because stage management are part of this as well. I have a lot of fun with the team because it's not just me.
Sorry, I can't believe you wrote this down word for word, but I'm really glad you did.
For the court case.
We have wardrobe, makeup, stage management. We're very much like a family. A couple or three times I tend to, if I see something with any female or male, usually it's the female, I must admit.
Oh my God.
I will observe, pass a comment.
I tend to, if I see something with any male or female, usually it's the females, I must admit, that I will pass a comment.
By the way, everyone at this point is absolutely rigid.
At home, you can sense the atmosphere in the studio has now plunged.
There's an arctic wind.
I mean, speaking of power stations as he was earlier, this has gone DEFCON 1.
I will observe, pass a comment.
The shutters are coming down on the windows outside. There's like red flashing lights, people in hazmat suits.
By the way, he says in this bit, he said, I will observe, pass a comment and put it on camera. They'll save it. Now, we can't use it because, you know, it's sensitive.
Pass a comment and observe and put it on camera and they will save it. Can't use it because it's, you know, a bit sensitive.
And now, this means it's all there on fucking tape. Yeah. There's 3 hours of him just going, oh, baby, whatever he's doing.
BBC cover-up. I mean, why aren't the papers all over this? I guess they had other things.
This is Auntie's Bloomers next series. Just David Jason staring down the barrel of the lens, talking dirty to you.
With a fistful of glacé cherries wrapped round his cock.
Now, you can't use it because, you know, it's sensitive. So what I got at the end of this last series, it's on a spike, it's gold, and on top is a sausage.
Oh,
and it's the award for the best innuendo.
What I've got at the end of this last series was an award, and what it is on a block with a spike coming up and a golden sausage. And it's the award for the best innuendo.
He said, now, you'll never know, what is it that I was saying? You know, what was I doing? You don't bend down if I'm in the show.
And you've got to use your imagination. Is when I say he gave me this award for the best innuendo, what was it that I was saying? Or what was I doing?
A lot of fun working on a show of Sir David Jason.
I mean, you don't bend down if I'm in the show.
Oh,
And there was a sort of, people had started laughing out of just, not even, I say laughing, that's strong. No, people have begun going,
yeah.
It ended with silence, and they're like, well, there you are, that's...
Amol just had nothing to say. And this was where I realised he didn't know what to do or how to handle it. I thought, there's got to be someone in his ear going, you shut
it must have been,
down.
The gallery must have been absolutely wetting themselves. Yeah. The BBC is now on lockdown. Yeah. It's over. Let's all take the pills, like it's over now.
But Amol just went, dear me.
I mean, you don't bend down if I'm in the show.
Dear me. OK, well, Innuendo Awards and otherwise, the special of Still Open All Hours can be seen on the 23rd of December at 8:30.
Dear me.
Right.
And that was all he had. And Michelle had nothing. I mean, I was sweating at
the moment. Oh, so much.
If I'd have been on that crew, I'd have been like, what the
when I first
are we doing
saw
now?
That story start, I was like, why is this so uncomfortable? Yeah. What is this? Yeah. And I was like, do you know what it sounds like he's about to say, I touch up quite a lot of...
And it sounded like
that's basically where it went.
Yes.
I was like, fucking hell, I wasn't expecting that.
You don't bend down if I'm on the show. Yeah.
Why, David? What will you do?
I will insert
my digits into your sexual organs, be you male or female. Usually it's the female, I must admit.
Oh, my God.
Heavy Pencil, a new comedy from Great Big Owl, the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork.
The Observer called it a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
No. I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant.
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Great Big Owl.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Jesus Christ. So anyway,
oh, it was
so weird.
I went on Twitter to sort of go, what are people making?
Can anybody
making
else
this?
See this? Is it just me?
Let me make it clear that Twitter, you know, people call it an echo chamber. Nobody was going, this is grotesque. People were responding to the storm they imagined would already be there that wasn't. So Mirelle, she wrote, David Jason is 79 years old. He comes from a different era where a wolf whistle or a hello darling was not a sexual harassment worthy of police investigation. Give the man a break, for fuck's sake. His comedy programs from 35 years ago still make people laugh. Hashtag David Jason.
Hashtag Rolf Harris. Hashtag.
Bryn WFC said, all aboard the easily offended bus.
Oh, I like that one. That's smashing.
Jamie Hasty said, here we go. The lily-livered liberal do-gooders all jumping on Sir David Jason because he makes an innocent, light-hearted remark on
innocent?
The One Show. He's 80. He's done more in his life than any of those willing to besmirch his good name. Show some bloody respect.
You daren't bend down if I'm on the show.
Matt Smith, I don't think it's the one who plays Doctor Who. Matt Smith writes, fuck off, you boring lefty cunt. As if none of you have ever had some smutty office banter with a work colleague, male or female. Most of the sexual inappropriateness in our office comes from the women. David Jason has admitted to nothing more than banter.
Wow.
That a banter should be a criminal offence.
Banter merchant.
Just finally, yeah. This is from Boxing View. He says, a man made sexual innuendos and the Snowflake Brigade are offended. Here's one for the snowflakes. Kleenex man size, cheeseburgers, and tasty meat is delicious, and there's two genders only. I apologise, David Jason, on behalf of the Snowflake Brigade.
Wow.
That's a Boxing View. MC Hawk is the only one I could find that was really sort of, well, seemingly you'd watched the thing and then come
so no
with a rational thing.
So no one who watches The One Show had gone on Twitter and said, hang on a minute.
Very few. There were some people who were like, that seemed really inappropriate.
Yeah.
But they were sort of, no one was going, oh my God, he needs to be jailed.
But I'm,
which is everyone reacts
no,
like
no,
everyone's
no, no,
gone,
yeah, of course.
Jail him, and they're just like, I don't fucking
I'm amazed.
Treasure.
Again, given the current climate, given that he's a celebrity, given that it's BBC One, why wasn't that in the newspapers?
Yeah.
That is surely, you know, Daily Mail all over that.
You know, I saw a guy called MC Hawk who said, apropos of almost nothing, I've never met a crew member with a good word to say about David Jason.
Yeah.
So off you pop with that national treasure shite.
Yeah.
He's a grumpy, rude bugger, and he couldn't give a tuppenny toss about his audience.
I think that's fairly accurate.
I think that's fairly accurate as well.
I'm afraid.
What they didn't, they, you said about them not showing respect. What they did show to get out of it, though, was a film about the Cairngorms.
They did, which is very soothing.
The Cairngorms. From mountaintops to ancient pine forests, this is a wild and remote place. Only the hardiest Highlanders can survive the bleak winter months here.
Look, snow,
now
lovely creatures.
I had a vague feeling that maybe this film wasn't meant to be shown because there was nothing relevant about it.
No.
And John, also, have you seen The One Show before?
Well, that's it. But I've seen this film before.
Oh, wait a minute.
But last time I saw this exact same film with a wildlife cameraman filming hares in the snow last Christmas when it was Yorkshire, not the Cairngorms.
Yeah.
But it was the same film.
Okay.
Got ya.
Like, almost shot for shot. And I'm thinking, I just wonder whether that film was scheduled or whether they went, for God's sake, just put something, anything on, anything to get out of it.
Come
on, we've got a film. It's about the Cairngorms. Just read what's on the autocue.
It's literally off the fucking shelf.
Yeah.
You know, because it's been run over now.
Didn't they had more time with David J to go and they were just like, get out.
Did they come back with him after that?
Yes, they did.
Jesus.
And I
thought that's when he blew the raspberries.
Yeah. But and this was when you're thinking, oh, I bet you wish you'd booked another guest.
Yeah.
Because you could just have wheeled him
off. Again, that's when the empty sofa is just like, oh, dear God, what are they
going to do? Fill another, 15 minutes or something, maybe 10 minutes with David Jason's story. I mean, I wrote down the fact, rambling old man full of no stories.
He was, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing.
The videos they put in, actually, the first one was about people having their Deliveroos hacked in a sort of apocalyptic vision of Britain where people will buy someone else's Deliveroo login.
I still don't understand what happened there.
Food delivery is big business, with UK orders topping an estimated £4 billion last year. But not all the fast food cooked up was delivered to the customers whose accounts were used to pay for it.
The other thing about that is, yes, they did not explain quite how it worked. And presumably that's because then you might do it. But I think there's a thing about somehow someone will give you the details of someone's Deliveroo account.
Yeah.
You then use it to order your food
to a different address.
A hacker does. And then you pay less than you would for the actual meal.
Yes, because at the end of the film, they pointed out there was that woman, he interviewed that woman, the reporter interviewed a woman who was sort of, living, looked like she lived in a strange compound or a hotel.
Yeah.
Not quite sure what was the deal there.
Yeah.
But she sat opposite him, her come dine with me set dining table and told him I had to complain, it took ages.
I heard nothing, so I tweeted them and said, no response, can somebody do something, because I really want to know what's going on. Nothing. So I tweeted them again, And then I emailed them again. And then I tweeted and I emailed.
At the end, they said, but delivery said they didn't use her credit card or anything, so she just stopped worrying about it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry, hang on. What was the story? But so what did they steal
they
of hers exactly?
They had that bit at the end where they went, and here to give their response are Deliveroo. And in came a fictional Deliveroo driver.
Deliveroo.
And they went, yes, thank you. They called them Deliveroo, I think, even though it said Deliveroo, which was internal brand, so they didn't get sued. Yeah. That all went badly. And he came in, bad. And then they went, thank you very much. Deliveroo have declined to be part of our film.
Nice one, Chris. Thank you very much. And we should be expecting a reply from Deliveroo any minute now.
Yes. Oh, here he is.
Oh.
Oh, thank you, Deliveroo man.
Thank you very much indeed.
Very kind indeed. Now, Deliveroo declined to be a part of our film.
All of that was dressed up to make it look like it was the sort of thing. And then at the end, they have to go, yeah, they've literally from day one have said they're not having anything to do with it.
I was thinking, you spent money designing a logo that says Deliver Who in the style of Deliveroo.
Yeah.
And that would have cost them a fair bit.
Which, again, for no reason. You've just wasted some money there. And also, in the film itself, the guy presenting it was very, very pleased with his little joke at the top of the film when he said, we're going to talk about this food company that are having these problems with hacking. And the people who are ordering the food aren't the people who are paying for the food. So it's like Deliver Who?
It's less Deliveroo, more Deliver Who.
Oh, that's terrible.
But they blew his little joke because the entire film was called Deliver Who.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Oh, you undermined all of that, didn't you?
That's also a thing where everyone's looked at it and they've gone, that's such a good joke. Let's really use it. And then, of course, by the time it comes on, he's like, well, I look like a prize prick now.
it was good watching Amol, who, again, as I'll say again, whose skill set I'm yet to happen upon.
That's fine. I'll accept that. He wasn't a good fit.
But he didn't. He had to do a bit of acting with that Deliver Who thing. But then they had to do some acting at the top of the show when there was fake snow falling.
Oh, that was my favourite bit of the whole show.
So it's the first Christmas one show of the season. So the studio, I mean, it's like Argos exploded, isn't it? It's got
it's
this
very
whole
garish.
You know, mess of stuff, like trees everywhere.
One of those Santa's grottos that you see in the papers every year where it's turned out to be really disappointing.
that. And they came on, it's Christmas one show. Oh, yeah. And then the snow falling and all this kind of stuff.
Oh,
so
brand new week on the one show with the Mole Roger
and Michelle Ackley. Now, Christmas has come to the one show studio.
It really
it's amazing.
Has.
That's enough, boys. Thank you very much indeed. Cheers, mate. You're right.
Cheers for that.
Thank you. That's plenty. No, we don't need any more snow.
Really
thank you very much.
But John, it turned out it wasn't real snow.
the camera sort of twisted upwards, and there's two crew members
there
on
were men there doing it, and it wasn't actually snowing like you thought.
But my favourite bit was they had a little line of, you know, so the lackeys in like festive jumpers, and there was a woman in a green jumper standing, as it turned out, a bit too close to a mall because that studio is tiny. And he sort of as he was turning went to say, is everyone feeling Christmassy, and turned almost nose to nose with her, and she wooed right in his face.
We've got all the decorations, we've got the Christmas trees, the lights, it's full sparkle.
You've got snow all over you now.
Fantastic. The audience are up for it. How are you guys? You alright?
It was beautiful.
They've got a new thing I've noticed this week. Where they've got a new thing this week which I have noticed. They've
don't
started.
Bend over, David's in the building.
They've got a new thing where they've started doing a shot from behind the audience to show that there's a live audience.
Yes, they have.
And they stopped doing that shot only when the David Jason stories were going really badly. They were like, no, don't drag anyone else in.
Nothing with anyone going behind anyone. Let's just not have that as a thing.
And the fact that Amol was such a fan of David Jason, they made such a big thing of that at the beginning.
Oh, God, and him dressed up as Del Boy in his stag
and David
night.
Jason absolutely coated him off. It was the worst thing.
He was so rude to him, because didn't he say something like, what do you think, David? Kushti, or what a plonk? And he just with such sourness just went,
what a plonk.
David Jason's from a different generation. I mean, that much has been established by stories. But he doesn't know that Amol Argent is someone from television. It's just for him, it's just like meeting
like
another
fan.
One of these young people who's a stranger, and they go, I love Del Boy, dressed up as for my stag. And David Jason's just thinking, oh, get me out of here.
And he's also probably thinking, you're right, younger but he's taking the piss. I'm not going to get sucked into this. You're not going to get me. You're not a real fan. You're being ironic.
I've heard of Ali G. I know what this is all about. You know,
we have to talk about his other story as well, which was where he was talking about magic tricks.
No.
You can buy them on the internet,
John. And other places. yeah. the internet and other places. So do you know what? His story is so bad, that horrible groping one, that the rest of the stories have been forgotten. But every single one of the stories in any other week would have been something we talked about for 15 minutes each. The magic fucking trick.
So in Still Open All Hours, yeah. right, they showed a clip of the Christmas time, which may now be pulled from the schedules after what he said.
Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a bit of Granville. That's what Michelle Ackley said. It's a phrase that has never been said from behind.
Now, back to Christmas.
Back to Christmas.
And Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a spot of Granville. So here he is, getting up to a bit of Hocus Pocus.
there was a clip where he, as Granville, as an elderly Granville, just inserts an egg. I mean, again, this has taken on a very different sort of feeling now.
Is it made of jade?
It was rubber.
inserts an egg. He does a magic trick involved putting an egg in his mouth, and then that's that. And then he starts talking about learning magic. And apparently, to teach him how to put an egg in his mouth,
yeah.
they had someone from the magic circle or similar.
Or not.
Yeah,
they couldn't agree on that,
wasn't it?
Could they?
About magic tricks. And he started saying, well, the thing is about magic tricks, right? You just buy them on the internet.
A bit of a helping hand from the magic circle. How did that go?
Well, yeah, I was just explaining. I don't think it's actually the magic circle, but there is a company that services, if you like, magicians. And I didn't know this, but they carry a lot of these tricks, and you can actually buy these tricks. You know, you can get them through the internet.
Yeah, or other places.
What did I don't even know whether... I think I stopped listening or I fell asleep or something before. So did it go anywhere? Did it end at a point? Or did
it went into a disaster. Because he started to give away... And by the way, his magic trick that he was talking about that you can buy on the internet is an egg. So yeah, you can buy them in other places.
You can put rubber eggs in your mouth.
Matt Baker's Farm Shop, presumably.
That's not online. Matt does not go online.
No.
The trick he was talking about, I don't think was even in the show. And he was just like, there's a trick that I know
the
of.
The flammable wallet.
Which is a flammable wallet. And he said, and what is I get my wallet out. He said, not out of a coat. He said, I wear a cape with this. And I was like, what on earth is he talking about?
My favourite was the flammable, the bursting into flames wallet. And what it is, you see, you get, if I can borrow this for a minute, you got this wallet, right? And you take it out of your pocket, or in my case, it was on my cloak. And you do this, and you open it up, and what you've done in here is already soaked it in lighter fuel.
Flammable stuff.
Yeah.
So you're giving the game away now, don't you?
Well, I'm sorry, but you asked.
I wear a cape for this. Fuck me. And he gets this... He brought out a piece of paper that he'd folded in half, and he said, now, when I open it, it would...
A one-show, cue card, wasn't it?
He said, I'd actually have soaked that with flammable liquid. and they went, right, yes, yes. And he goes, and then, obviously, the fire would... and they were like, yeah, that's right. And I was like...
Oh, are you going to get in trouble now for telling us the magic?
Jesus Christ, what a magic spectacular! Someone picking up a cue card and going, I could have set fire to this.
There's so many things going on here, because you've got him giving away magic tricks which you're not supposed to do, magic secrets, which Michelle Ackley looked really concerned about.
She was genuinely
And then you've also got the idea of, you've just basically said on a tea time television programme with children probably watching... Mm. How to set fire to mummy or daddy's wallet or purse.
And there's no Santa.
With lighter fluid. And it's like, and Amol's joining in. He's going, use lighter fluid for that. Yeah. What are you doing, Amol?
Anything else, David? Yep, AIDS was invented by the CIA. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah.
But as if it couldn't get any better or worse. Then they cut to Matt Albright in a nursing home.
Oh, my God.
Which was
this was horrific.
Now, Matt Albright is with Olive and Kathleen. Now, live in Mansfield. Matt, how are you? Have the ladies been keeping you entertained?
They've not just been entertaining me, Amol. They've actually been educating me all about Miller's Business College, the time you played truant. Well, am I supposed to say that? Is that top secret?
No, not really, is it?
So they showed this really nice VT.
Why did they go there live?
I don't know.
Why did they need it to be live?
They should have just nixed that bit. They showed you this delightful VT of these two lovely ladies in a nursing home, friends for life.
Olive and Kathleen.
Olive and Kathleen. They're both 89. They've been friends since they were tiny. They've chosen to go to the same nursing home together. It's delightful. It's kind of the dream. They even get pissed together. It's lovely. They seem to be having a nice time. And then it cuts to this much, much less happy live shot of Matt Allwright in a nursing home with Christmas
Matt
trees behind him. I really felt sorry for him. And they had very little to say. I mean, I think they'd basically done everything they could do in the VT.
It's an hour past bedtime.
It's bedtime.
Absolutely done. Matt's questions. Jesus Christ. So this is live. Live so to painful. Their home in Mansfield.
Yeah.
And he cuts them. And his first question is, so we heard this week the Queen likes a martini. I don't know where that came from.
Splendid.
Did we?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we all know that.
They said, what do you have? And Olive said, port and lemon. And then Kathleen said, I like whiskey and water, but I do need cold water just a bit. That's a big quality whiskey. I was thinking, what the fuck have we got live?
Quite right.
For this update of what two elderly women are going to have if there was a drinks order.
We've heard today, for instance, that the Queen enjoys a martini as her Christmas tipple. How about you guys? What is it you
port
like to drink?
Port and lemon.
A port and lemon for you, Olive. And how about you, Kathleen?
I like a whiskey and water.
A whiskey and water?
Cold water, just a bit. Only a little bit of cold water, but a good whiskey.
Then he said to them, so I hear that you two are quite troublemakers, a couple of troublemakers, mischievous.
Worst, most patronising bullshit.
And Olive went, no, definitely not.
You get up to a little bit of mischief, they tell us here, in the home. Is that right? Are you troublemakers?
No, definitely not. No, we've done a lot of good, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
Like there was a chance that the nurses would... You've been warned about this.
But they live in fear. Yeah,
and anything you want to ask David Jason, send him a message?
The one thing you never do, that question only has one answer.
100%.
Oh, yes. Where do you get your... You know, what was it like working with Nurse Gladys? Just something.
What was it like?
There's only one. What was it? Come on the one show. There is only one fucking... instead, what did they say?
No, don't think so.
Do you?
She said no, and then everyone, for the first time in this entire show, you hear the studio laugh.
Yeah. We've got David Jason back in the studio. Is there anything that you'd like to say to him? A little message you'd like to get across to him now?
I don't think so, do you?
Fools and horses. Yeah. That's about it. Well, thank you so much. We'll wish you a very Merry Christmas. Give David a little wave. Anyway, there you go.
The thing is, they're not laughing at what just happened because that's uncomfortable. All it is a release valve for everything that has gone before.
And what pent up, you,
it's almost like, oh my God, we thought David Jason was the battiest elderly person here. But Kathleen and Olive have just really usurped him.
He's now the angriest elderly
and
person.
And thank God they're not on the show with him. Because he tried to put his fingers in them.
I've got a question for David. David, what does it feel like to be cancelled?
Oh, Jesus. I was thinking, this is the worst one show I've ever had. Yet also the best.
Beyond belief.
It was staggering.
How is this? I know there's been...
Incredible.
We're recording this the day after the general election. Why are the papers not full of this news today?
What's going on?
It should say Tory landslide on about page 7. The rest of it should be
this.
Port and lemon, you know. David Jason. I mean, there's so much.
But when they cut back to him in the studio, and he, for once, actually, just all the masks have slipped, he looks fucking furious.
Yeah.
Like,
this is
and
not
Michelle's
professional.
And face then, like, again, all the circuits were kind of misfiring and the sparks were coming out of her ears. And she was just trying, like, hey, what do we do now? I'm not going to say anything. Not speaking bad. Just do good face. Come on, you can do faces, Michelle. Come on! and eventually she did, like, studied concern, like, nodding and... Because they tried to get him onto the subject of his more foreshow about inventions.
Oh, God, it was like, come on, you've got 2 minutes to go. You can just fill that with anything.
Yeah.
Don't go back to David Jason again.
And then say to him, it's basically, you've made the most Brexit show in the history of the world. And he goes, yeah, British inventions.
It's all part of what the British have done in what they've invented. They invented all these things, the hovercraft, for example, the jet engine, and the electricity, the light bulb, the telephone, you name it. And I've been all over the country to investigate these and to show how they came about.
And I really sort of thought, if I hadn't really turned off him by then, having him do a big thing sort
giant
of about...
cranes.
Big cranes and British. And aren't British people brilliant in the past?
But then even now they've sort of, you know, got him away from all of the nasty stuff he was talking about before. And then they just sort of opened up the goal again for him. And just the question... And I'm literally going, don't ask that! When they just went to him, so you're doing this programme on inventions. What do you get up to in that?
Now, we've got to mention, just before we go, you've got this new show coming on, which is it more for the David Jason's Great British Inventions? What do you get up to in that?
Oh no, he's going to tell us how he fisted a fucking train driver or something. Just don't do it. Why are you asking him these questions? But a female one, I prefer that.
I bet Matt was sitting watching this whole show in his dressing room, just sitting there just going,
cackling,
it's going to die with me, they're going to bury this show with me. Fucking disastrous.
Horrific.
Honestly, if I was Amel, I would have stood up like 2 minutes before the end of the show and just gone.
I'm a serious journalist.
What, to the 18-12 take, take off the mic. Mum, Dad, we're leaving.
Yeah, no, he brought his parents in for that. I imagine they disowned him after that. Why have you brought us to this, son? It's rubbish.
That's going
to
be an awkward Christmas dinner, isn't it?
Oh.
It's going to be awkward. They're going to be sitting there and someone's going to be going, oh, you know, I'm really sorry that, you know, the turkey's a bit dry. And they'll go, don't worry about it. You see, we went to see Amel. And so there's nothing that could be ruining this year as much as watching Amel do that one show.
Apart from we can never watch the, you know, Only Fools and Horses special ever again.
So bad.
Oh, it's amazing, wasn't it?
And right here is where we jam a stick into the One Show spokes, bringing part one to a crashing end. Part two of this week's edition will be with you tomorrow, so while you're waiting, please rate, review, subscribe, and we will be forever in your debt. Without your love, we're just some lonely people shouting into the void, and if we're that, we might as well be presenting the One Show for real. See you tomorrow.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plot like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends, or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast app. Apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.